When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast, or how it's more commonly known these days, the Samaritan's Hotline. Mark, it's been 3 weeks, how are you, lad?
I'm fine, mate, bearing up.
Yeah.
Step up a lip, trying to put a brave face on it. I'm not talking about my private life, I'm talking about Marcus. But it's been a testing time for any Evertonian, but I don't want to, you know, go right off with all guns blazing, but it's been an extremely tough
Well, there's plenty of time, man. obviously, last time we met, the Villa game, we recorded right after that.
Yeah.
On a high, we won.
At a canter, really, in first gear.
Yeah.
And how things change.
I know, and it was, I mean, how long ago was that? It was 3 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the Tuesday night.
Sorry, we kept you all waiting.
Yeah. We've been building up to it, though.
Yeah.
But a lot's happened since.
Yeah.
Probably best starting at our most recent game, Mark. United game on Sunday, still fresh in the minds of all Evertonians. Maybe take a look back at the other three games that have happened on top of the United game as well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, if it's not going to get too depressing.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see where we go with the United game and current affairs. And
yeah.
See if we get to the other ones, if we've got the stomach to do it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It has been tough, though, hasn't it?
I'm not half, mate. The defeat at Old Trafford was really, you know, United are a really poor side, aren't they? They're not Man United. I just don't see them as a Man United team. They're not.
Beat us home and away.
You know, for years, they're terrified opponents, you know, with Beckham, Giggs and all them types of players. That's not United, that's more of a mid-table Premier League side, really, but they grind out results. But it's, you know, we had every right to expect a better result than a 1-0 defeat there, and it's just really disappointing, really alarming, really, what was going on that pitch.
I think with the international break, a lot of us probably welcomed the international break, didn't we, after what happened against Arsenal and West Ham either side of the Chelsea game. The Chelsea game's been the only shining light since the Villa game, getting back to Wembley and that. But I know having a break with England playing and all that, I thought, you know what, it's nice to take your mind off the stresses of being an Evertonian. But then, of course, coming back after Easter and playing last at the weekend, the pressure was back on Everton, wasn't it? I know we've got games in hand, but I agree, United are an ordinary team, and they didn't even get out of first gear.
And the fact
that they beat us home and away is unbelievable. And, you know, it wasn't so much of a whimper from Everton on Sunday. And if we had any sort of impetus and a bit about us, which we haven't this season and since probably half of last season as well, we would have beat them comfortably.
Well, this is an Everton team that started the season with ambitions to sort of go for teams like United, wasn't it? And we thought we could maybe begin to challenge the likes of United. And, you know, from our team and the players we had available to the players they had available, that it shouldn't be the case that we're going down there I'm not getting a shot on target for 86 minutes. It's just ludicrous.
It feels like an absolute million miles away from that 1-0 victory over them when Oviedo scored.
Yeah, or the 2-0, you know, Blitzkrieg, or where in Martinez's first season. You know, it's just we are a pale imitation, very pale imitation of that first season.
I just
something drastically gone wrong.
I just think, I mean, we've only been beaten twice away from home, and
yeah, that's important to say. But it's,
I don't get to many aways myself, Mark. But I went there Sunday, and in the hope, thinking, well, actually, we're doing all right away from home. Let's see what it's like outside Goodison, because to be honest, it's been pretty tragic at Goodison, hasn't it, this season?
Unprecedented.
but yeah, not much. There was not much to shout about at all. I thought the football on offer was an absolute joke.
Yeah, first 5 minutes aside, where we sort of looked, we didn't create nothing or do anything, but we just looked more at home for the fact that we were away, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
you know,
John Stones come back into the side, and I think he was. I'm not going to say he was a positive from the game, but he took
much
his place.
Much more like his old self.
Yeah,
isn't
I think so. But I thought we missed Gareth Barry massively again.
Yeah, totally agree. It really shows. I mean, as much as we've slagged him this season, he's been different class. Shows really the void he leaves when he's not on that pitch, you know. It's just, I think, when he's on that pitch, the likes of McCarthy, not so much Bessie, but they look better players than what they are. Because, you know, when he's not there, they're exposed for maybe what they can truly offer.
Definitely.
You know? And Barry's not going to go forever.
I think the word influence springs to mind.
Yeah, huge.
What probably Bessie and McCarthy... something that they haven't really got. Maybe they're more effective with Barry and the team alongside them, but there was a gaping hole there, and thankfully he's back for Saturday. Like, but the thing is with him, he's not going to be an arm forever, Barry. No. He's not getting any younger. We need to be going out and signing someone of that ilk to replace the big boots he's going to...
He tried Barkley in there, didn't he? And as much as I'm a huge Ross Barkley fan, and I know people will say, no, why? But I've seen him at his best, and he doesn't do it often enough. But when Ross Barkley, when he's like that, is horrible to watch. Really, he's not. You know, not asking anyone to start throwing stones at him or whatever at the game at Goodison, because no one deserves that. But when Barkley doesn't try, there's few players who look as good as him when he's in full flow. There's no players who look as bad as him when he's not bothered.
Yeah.
Some half-assed challenges going in there, which wasn't what was needed.
I think when you say half-assed, that probably summed it up. First half, there was a Lukaku header, but there was not much to shout about. I remember thinking at half-time, this game needs a goal, or even like a feisty tackle, you know, just to liven it up.
Well, I was twixt in between criticising Lukaku for endless bad first touches and being so isolated from the rest of the, you know, the midfield was 25 yards away from him nearly all the game, you know what I mean? Apart from that one time where I think it was Lennon who nearly got in with a back heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was half sympathetic because he had no support, and then half raging because he couldn't hold the ball up anyway. You know, it was a mixture of two, really.
I noticed the likes of Barkley and De La Fault, they were too quick to, if they had the ball on halfway or just inside the United's half, just to punt it forward, trying to look for space. Lukaku, when he was, most of the time, he was 30 yards away from that ball. It was, rather than maybe pushing on into the space and trying to create something, because we have got the players there to hurt teams. You know, Lennon's been informed, De La Fault, probably you could tell he'd been out the side, I thought, with his performance. But it was just all too easy to punt it forward and then expect Lukaku to be running a marathon to try and get on the end of something.
Yeah.
And then we all know with contribution like that, he comes out wide, and that's not where we want Lukaku, is it? We want him in the box where he's at his best. So
absolutely. Yeah.
All round, 45 minutes was pretty shocking, wasn't it, Mark?
Bit of a non-event. You know, it was a poor game. You know, Bobby Charlton's, you know, it wasn't really any kind of a game to celebrate that, was it? You know, but...
Daily Blint was probably the highlight in terms of performances, because he was just... He dealt with everything, didn't he? And
he's such a little player
playing centre-half, and then the way he steps in.
Yeah.
And Carrick sort of sits
almost
in
almost Gareth Barry-esque, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, the way he was playing, you know.
Again, influence, isn't it?
Again, yeah. But, you know, like so often this season, no matter how poor the opponents are, we managed to be just that bit poorer.
Exactly. And second half, I know there was an early goal, and Jagielka at the bar, but again, hardly anything to talk about in it. Couple yeah. of changes, maybe. I mean, starting with the goal, Mark, do you think Coleman probably should have done better?
Yeah.
But Martial scored.
Sort of hit it against him, didn't he? And it went in off his leg, and it looked an unnatural way to clear the ball from Coleman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't. He deserves just as much criticism, to be honest, this season as anybody else.
Because well, he's been under par, hasn't he?
Been yeah. well under par. He's just not the James Coleman who, arguably, Moyes got the better out of him than Martinez has, you know, which is ironic considering their attacking philosophies, you know. But
there's a lot you could say that
I'm
about.
I'm not advocating really. Moyes to come back by any stretch.
I thought Baines was as well was just. I think it typified him in recent months. Is
yeah.
When he's getting it, he used to bomb on and he'd look for the space in front of him yeah. when, rather than always dallying on it and turning back and looking to get it back to Stones or Joel. And
well, it used to be the case when the centre midfielder picked it up, you could already see Baines coming down the left, bombing. Damn, he was barely there, wasn't he?
Right backs couldn't deal with it.
His comments after the game, I think, reflected in his performance. There was one or two 1-2s he tried that didn't come off, and he's looking to the. And he's going, what the hell's going on?
There is no chemistry there.
He was spot on, though. Yeah.
Or, you know, there's not been a lot of chemistry in his game, and decent standards. I thought maybe Jagielka and Stones had decent games, but that was about it, Mark.
Yeah,
it was.
You're right. There was nothing.
A poor goal to concede. You know, just after half time as well, knocks the stuffing out of us, and then we go up and we hit the bar. Didn't we? Anything that could have got a quick fire equaliser, yeah. but wasn't to be.
Good header from Jags, but just you know too high. But you know, it's far. Everton should be creating 13-15 chances against that Man United team. I know they're a good defensive side, but it's normally often De Gea who's the last line of defence. You know, they're not impregnable. You should be able to get at them. It was just no shots on target at all.
You look at some of our away performances, Mark, the chances we created. Yeah. You know, when we went to Stoke and beat them 3-0, when we went to Southampton and beat them 3-0, yeah. we should have won by about 8.
Stoke particularly.
Look at yeah. Norwich away when we drew 1-1. I think we should have had about 10 in the first half.
Swansea away 0-0. I've never seen so many 1-on-1s. Lukaku had in my life. I think he missed 3-4.
Whereas you know, on Sunday, we had one shot on target.
So that tells you then that something has changed from the, you know, it shouldn't, the attacking force, the way we play away from home shouldn't change that drastically.
No.
It tells me something's up then. You know what I mean? Because maybe the home results have dragged the players' mentality down. Maybe they just don't see any point in it anymore. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's so deflating.
Looking at the league table, game, you know. Are they just writing that off and thinking we all just want to... But surely those players, like Bain said, they should be trying to earn their place in the Wembley starting 11.
Yeah, not exactly. You'd pick no one on that evidence. You know, no one's worthy of a place for Wembley. And the whole thing's a mess, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I'm trying to not jump the gun and all that, but it's like, you know, I think things are coming to a head with it. Yeah, players and all. I don't know, it's just, I looked at it and it just wasn't an Everton team. It wasn't a Man United team, but they're just, that's poor transfer policy. But Everton, something fundamentally wrong in that squad.
I thought we were lifeless, and we were all on Twitter on Sunday night, weren't we? And
I see it as therapy now, Twitter.
Yeah.
As much as this.
Like Samaritans. I don't know. I use the words like lifeless and you know, defeatist, and
yeah.
I thought we were from minute one, right up until Jagielka's interview after the match. And
oh.
I know he has the same sort of demeanour in interviews, but Jesus Christ, that doesn't
fill you with
any sort of confidence. He had his head down. He was almost mumbling his answers back.
He gave the impression he was a school kid getting told off by a teacher.
You know, you wouldn't expect him to go in and put his arm round anyone, or you know, put his boot up the arse, or someone say, "Come on, let's turn this round." If he's going in front of the cameras like that, well, you know, it's not good enough, and this and that, and then Bain just coming out and saying it. But at the end of the day, they're two of our players who have underperformed for 18 months, 2 years, and maybe Jagielka did improve last season and got player of the season. But they're the ones you should be relying on. You know, your Jagielkas, you probably your Tim Howards, people like that. Gareth Barry's.
Which begs the question, why have they all underperformed?
They're the
so
ones
long?
You want to rely on.
They've been our most consistent performers for so long, haven't they? You know, if you're writing down players who turn it, who put in a 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 show over the years, they'd be the few names that you would write down, isn't it?
Defo.
So that tells me there's something lying underneath.
They've gone from being though. You rely on your Seamus Comans, your Phil Jagielka's, your Baines's. It's like when Pienaar and Baines were in the side. You'd rely on them. You know, as you said, there'd be six or seven chances created at least.
Just down the left alone.
They've gone from being like that to very unreliable. And Baines is saying in his quotes, like, we're expecting individuals to come up with something special. That's why there's so much pressure on Lukaku, De La Fon, Barkley to just create something out of nothing. You know, people are screaming shoot when they're 30 yards out. It's you and me both know it's not as easy as that. You know what I mean? The pressure is massive on a lot of the younger players at Everton.
And home has become untenable, to be honest.
But the signs were there.
That's not the fans' fault. I'm not blaming the fans at all.
The signs were there though against QPR and when we beat them 3-1. I'm going back like 15 months or whatever. But then I look at that Southampton game as a turning point. You know, when we got beat 3-0 before Christmas the other year.
Yeah.
I just think then there was results like that, and you could see we were getting the stuff and knocked out of us. And since then, we've gone backwards.
We've reached Luka Martinez one a day after another. You know what I mean? We always know, like, the tipping point. Walter Smith was quite clearly Middlesbrough away. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, definitely.
That was the tipping point. I could name
I think Stoke and Arsenal away last March, was it?
Stoke away.
You first saying then, Martinez out.
After completely falling in love with the guy, I'll totally admit that, in the first season, I thought, this guy is it. You know, we're going to go on. Totally naive to think that now, thinking back. But you're right, we've had Stoke. For me, losing at home to West Brom, losing at home to Swansea was another one. Totally unforgivable, the way we performed as well in that game. There's been so many games where you could say, he should have gone after that, he should have gone after that. You know, I'm just... Dynamo Kiev.
The Liverpool game, we got 4-0. 4-0,
Dynamo Kiev, he just completely threw it away. He had picked... Do you remember, he had picked... Tim Howard religiously dropped that injured... Robles came in, did great, dropped him. Didn't apply that philosophy to John Stones coming back in, and he kept Alcaraz, kept faith with Alcaraz. You know, if we lose 3-2 that night, we get away with it. But he was negligent in his selection.
His stubbornness has shone throughout all of this, though, Mark. And his attitude and comments have never changed. And he hasn't faltered, in his own eyes, he hasn't faltered, and it's unwavering in his beliefs. And people might say, well, you know, fair play to him for sticking to his guns, but we all know in life, if you're doing something and you're managing something and it's not working, then something has to give, has to change for the good of the club. It's not about Roberto Martinez's philosophy.
No.
It's not about whether all of the players are getting on or some of them want to leave in the future. The fact is, we all want 3 points every week for Everton FC.
Yeah.
And if we're not getting that on a regular basis and it's common problems and a common theme, then something's got to give.
Yeah.
Stubbornness doesn't come into it anymore. New ideas.
But he's also messing with people who are putting in, people who often quite can't afford it, are putting harder money in to pay for season tickets to watch 8 home defeats a season because a guy won't see a game out because he refuses to put the ball in the corner. Because so it gets down to more than that, doesn't it?
There's no harm in football as well. There's no harm in swallowing a bit of pride.
No.
You know, look back to the West Ham game, which was a podcast in itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Classic example.
Here's the thing though, Marcus, this is his golden chance, right? I don't think he's ever going to get an opportunity, regardless of what Dave Wheeler says about Real Madrid and Barcelona. I think Everton possibly could be as big as it's going to get for Roberto Martinez. So this is his chance to make an imprint at a sleeping giant. And I don't say that just because I'm an Everton fan. We are, you know. We've got a history most clubs could only dream of. So if he messes this up with this squad of players, what is his chance? He's ruining his own chances as well. He's not going to progress.
I think we're being at this sleeping
giant.
There's
so many chips being pissed on. Yeah. With Martinez.
I think we've been a sleeping giant and like the nearly men for over a decade, haven't
we?
Moyes got us there or thereabouts. We needed
but this. He didn't have the mental courage to take us further.
No, he never. Whereas Martinez coming in, we thought, he's got that. But it only lasted for maybe 10 months.
Yeah, 10
and
months.
And then it's completely gone backwards since then. But I think now with this new money and looking on paper, the squad of players we've got, as you say, this is the golden opportunity, and he's just not changing. He won't change. He refuses to change. And I think because of this chairman and the way Everton's run, he's being allowed to get away with it.
Yeah.
And I question Evertonians as well. Is it just fans on social media that are calling for his head, or is the supporters around the world who might listen to this podcast,
yeah,
who don't necessarily go to the game, but they have the same viewpoint? I want to know. People are putting polls on Twitter, and nine people out of ten are putting Martinez out. But is there anyone prepared to put a banner up at a game or start a song? Yeah. Or, you know,
because I'm convinced managers have been sacked for far less than this.
100%.
I just don't get.
Think it comes down to the mentality of the club.
Yeah, 100%. Bill Cameron, what a manager. That tells you all you need to know. He doesn't see anything wrong.
Yeah, fair enough. I know Ken Wright's like,
he's not going to slag him in public, but sometimes it's better to say nothing.
What a manager, yeah. Maybe what a lovely person Roberto Martinez is. Yeah. Mm. I think we all agree that when he first came, he was very endearing.
He's somebody you'd have a pint with.
Exactly. I loved it. I could listen to him for hours. But I tell you what, I watched his press conference last Thursday or Friday.
You were
sitting here watching it, and I just thought, why have I just put myself through that? Because then you go back on Twitter, and I'm sitting there thinking, hang on, he's just said this and just said that. It's nauseating.
It is. Chris Sutton called him out, really, you know.
Told but he was bang on.
He was absolutely spot on. Nailed it. He just nailed it. He put into words what everyone's thinking. He's seen right through him. The guy's. I do call him a fraud lots because we're only allowed 140 letters and some fraud fits in nicely, but he's a blagger.
In no way am I saying here that I wouldn't want Martinez to succeed at Everton. I've wanted it since he walked through the door,
yeah,
and I still want it now, but just what's gone on before in the past 18 months, I just, even for example, if they go and win the FA Cup, it would take a lot for me to drag it back, to drag that sort of belief in him again and find that enthusiasm as when he first came. And too many things, as you said about Nadir, so much has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think we've just reached a point now where I don't think a cup win should save him. I don't care how bad it sounds, it shouldn't buy him time. What are we going to, because he's not going to change his philosophy. He's not learning, he hasn't learned for 2.5 years or how long it's been. He's shown he can't adapt. He's shown he's making the same mistakes all over again. So we're gonna. The cup win is essential, absolutely. But I do believe the players are doing it for themselves and not for Martinez. And I think you wouldn't lose anything if you just put maybe someone like Kenny Sheedy in charge. For what I'm trying to say is, are we gonna put up with winning the cup, which is huge for us, if we're only going to get more of the same next season, 3-4, 2-3 home defeats every time, is it ultimately?
Exactly, we should be aspiring to be doing.
We want to win the cup and then make another
step. And get in the top four. Yeah,
yeah. We don't need Martinez spending 100 million quid with on a load of Niasses, you know. Or don't get me wrong, he's got a knife for talent, he has, but he's making so many mistakes. Niasse along, he didn't bring him on. If we went back to the game, he didn't bring him on until the 87.
Silverware might save him, and I look back last season, I thought he's got us back in Europe there, and he had a decent go in Europe, to be fair. Some of the football and results were brilliant, but the way it just hit an iceberg in Kiev was just shocking.
Well, he undermined it completely,
and then since then, as he thought, well, next season we're going to have a go in the domestic cups, and we've been to a semi-final in the League Cup.
I just don't think
the manner in which we whimpered out of that was a bit appalling, to be honest. But again, Man City, I know.
But then you get some Evertonians praising the fact that we've reached the semi-final.
Well, this is
help ourselves.
This is it. I've seen people say we're in our second semi-final.
First semi-final might as well have been the third round because we didn't win it.
Exactly,
isn't it?
If we win the cup, then he'll go down as our greatest manager since Kendall, which I can completely see that point. But even so, I'm not blinded by the fact that if he goes and wins the FA Cup with Everton, that all is just completely forgotten about. What he's putting us through, his stubbornness again, the fragility of this Everton side over the past year and a half has just been,
that's the word.
Basically, since we started doing these podcast markets,
we've put the markers on it completely.
Honestly, we will have lost count of the amount of times that we've had similar themed conversations about this manager and this group of players. And it shouldn't be happening. It simply shouldn't be happening. And a club Everton stature now with this new money, I'm hoping the mentality will begin to change.
That Mo Shearer now has to be decisive in his actions. I do think he has the final say. He is the majority shareholder. I know people say, well, down to Cameron and Woods as well. well, they haven't, this guy's putting the money in. You're going to listen to the guy with the money. You're not going to listen to two men who haven't put anything in, you know, it's just...
And I think in this day and age, Mark, and with that amount of money involved, patience will not be something that...
People are already dreaming of who we're signing in summer.
Basically,
you know?
Yeah. Look, not without getting carried away, they're not going to be patient.
For me, all the excitement in the world, for me, getting older, is to know that we are on that right track to know where we are. For me, it's untenable that Marcus can stay now, because I just think Everton we need to be more ambitious. See, people are going, oh, well, it's all right, because, no, it's not all right. Kendall... If Kendall had been booed out when we wanted him out, we wouldn't have had the team of the 80s. I think it's important to drop the romanticism here. We have to acknowledge when someone's just not up to the job. Not everyone is going to turn out to be Howard Kendall Mark too. You know, we just have to acknowledge the guy isn't up to it.
And again, going back to what might happen from the remaining 8 games and Cup stuff, you know, it's a big if, but if they go and win the FA Cup, they win the couple of games in hand and get 8th, 7th place, then it'll look rosy in the garden again. But
people will go, what are you moaning about? You've won a cup. And
exactly, but people need to look at the 6 months, 7 months that have gone before, plus last season, and be like, actually, there is cracks there at Everton. And unless he hasn't moved efficiently enough to deal with them problems, I don't think. Whereas
it's
maybe a quick fix here and there could have dealt with them. But we just don't see it.
Is the cup success ultimately going to hurt us long term? You know, but it's classic Everton, isn't it? We can never enjoy the moment. We can never pull all our weight behind it. If you remember when the Mariners, we were flying, everyone was paralysed with fear that Liverpool were going to win the title. You know, last year we couldn't enjoy Europa because we thought we were going down. This year, we're in the FA Cup semi-final, but everyone's looking forward to it, but we can't really enjoy it because... Nobody wants the idiot in charge.
Well, but then we're facing Everton. We're going to be facing one of the teams that have beaten us within the past month. West Ham and Man United in completely different circumstances, but they've beaten us. And they've both beaten us, I think, home and away this season, haven't they?
Do we really want to play United? How are we going to beat United if with that team of players? I don't know. See, what I think about the Arsenal game, which was meek. And pathetic. And then I think about the Chelsea game, sandwiched in between the United game. Now, them two league performances were a world away from that cup performance. This is what's saying to me, we don't need Martinez anymore. Because I know he was in charge for that Chelsea game, but there's no way the players can turn that sort of form on and off. You know what I mean? That was a very different Chelsea team that we played, a different beast to who we beat 3-1 in September completely. They haven't lost a league game with Hiddink. So Everton turned it on then, and we're good enough to beat them, you know, with two excellent goals from Lukaku. But that tells me that the players do want it, do want the cup for themselves. They don't need. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing a disservice. I just think
they basically don't need them anymore. They want honours on the CV. Yeah.
I think people are relying on us. Oh, we'll see how we do in the cup. I don't think we need them. I'll be straight.
Well. Going back to what you mentioned there, the Arsenal game. I mean, these other games, they seem a bit irrelevant now.
Yeah.
The theme's going to be similar, but we're going to mention them because we try and cover all the games, don't we?
Yeah.
But that Arsenal game, just going back one step from United, it was... I don't think being an early kickoff helps at Goodison Park neither, does it? But, you know, after the heroics of the Saturday previous, on the Saturday night, the place was bouncing, Lukaku was bouncing, it was excellent. The following week, we were completely lifeless. You know, Mo Bezic shitting out of tackles.
Yeah.
Welbeck scoring an absolute peach of a goal in the first 10 minutes.
Arsenal looking like spring chickens, despite being given the runaround in Barcelona 3 days earlier.
48 hours or something, or 72 hours.
We'd had a full week off, and we looked like, frankly, we played Barcelona on the
way. It was our corner, wasn't it? And the kid, debutant or something for Arsenal, sprints up the pitch and scores, making it 2-0. It was just that was game over. It was game over as soon as they took to the field on that Saturday.
They'd already admitted defeat. Yeah. They went. This is what I mean. The whole mentality. There was no. Do you remember the Martinez first season where we were going at teams very much like the Liverpool approach? Pardon me for saying, but you know, high tempo, pressing high, looking to score early, looking to put the game to bed early. You know, that Everton side's gone. We let teams put their slippers on, we let them have a read the paper, have a brew, get into the game. Do you want? would you like the Daily Express or the Mirror? We let them settle right in, and then they can.
I didn't say the Echo there. I looked at that and I thought, right, the football Arsenal played have been praised for it for years, and all the sort of the nearly men, but. To be honest, they're always in the top four. They've always got Champions League.
Yeah.
They blow hot and cold at different times of the season. But looking at the way they play, and some of the, you know, they've got some young, hungry players. They've got some world-class starts, like Sanchez and Ozil's being good this season. We're a million miles away from them. They pass the ball around for fun at Goodison Park, and Everton look like... I thought, you know, a couple of years ago, Everton were going to make the next step up and show everyone in the league just how good we are.
Well, when we blitzkrieged Arsenal again, you know, with lightning football, I just thought, there's no way this team's going to regress. We're only going to get better. Just Everton, isn't it? You can never get too excited. Ever. I think we won the trophy when I was 6. We won the league. I was 37, no nearer. Just shows you, don't it? Being Everton is at best character building.
That excitement soon gets washed away by a bloody title.
Everyone's bouncing after Chelsea, we're at Wembley. Huge balloon, and Martin sticks a big knife in it.
Tidal wave of fume on Twitter.
Oh, it's not so much a tidal wave now. It's a never-ending tsunami. It's not just me with the Martin is out hashtags either.
We're going from negative to negative here, but looking back again... Beyond the Chelsea game, the West Ham game, which, as I said about you, you could do a podcast in that itself. Just thoughts on that, Mark. We took the lead with Lukaku.
Yeah. Then a terrific goal from Wellen.
Yeah. But then, in between that, the Morales red card.
Oh yeah, stupid boneheaded. Just shows Morales for what Morales just shows you that it's a good job he was a footballer because he hasn't got any brains between his ears.
We'd say classic Morales.
Morales, yeah, just brain dead. I mean, what kind of challenge was that anyway? You went in 2-footed. You know, it was a lousy pass from Lukaku, it has to be said, to him. But you just run after the ball. He tried to get it back. But even if he'd won the ball, he was risking sending off. You know, risking sending off.
The first one he got booked for diving.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
The replay.
Yeah, and I actually thought it was a foul when I first seen it, but it was a horrible time.
It was a time, by the letter of the law, you get booked for diving, and the second one was definitely a yellow card. He went through the lad. Why is tackling like that at that time, at that part of the pitch? I think Lukaku's reaction summed it up. He sort of put his hands on his head and looked at him as if to say, what are you doing? We're 1-0 up. We need to be winning games. He's flying in like that. He goes off. He done that against Swansea, didn't he? When he came back into the side and then he got himself sent off.
It shows you that it's all about Kevin Morales, not Everton football. Yeah, I think he's going to be the first.
Talking about him, right? His body language stunk on Sunday as well. You know, I was watching there, and it was about 81 minutes or something, and he was jogging. He was jogging, and I was thinking, no one in this Everton side wants this, do they?
No.
Then you've got that Niasse coming on for 2 minutes, looking like he's won a competition to play for Everton.
I've been in Manchester today, and there was a Manc fan there, and he was acting like a matador to the fans, almost, to the Sheffield end, I heard. So, you know, he probably can't believe he's here. And judging on his performances so far, 11 and a half minutes of it, I can see why he can't believe he's here. I don't know who's worse, Bakayoko.
But you know, nearly £10 million, a big investment, Mark, isn't it? So
there was nearly 13, wasn't it?
I think I'm not going to write him off just yet, because we've only seen him in fits and starts, but the jury's well and truly out on that lad. And I don't think Roberto's helping him by bringing him on for 2 minutes, and he's running around like he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, it's, and then while we're on that game, West Ham, it was a real golden chance for Magnus to win back a few fans, a few, not everyone. Because Everton played the perfect game with 10 men that day. I thought 2-0. They got a well-deserved second goal with Lennon, who's been just different gravy since he's been here.
Well-worked goal on it.
Yeah, well-worked goal. Lovely Gladys Street goal. And then he has to go and do it all. I don't believe Lennon was sufficiently tired. He looked tired, but I still think he could have seen the game out. You know? Such is his enthusiasm.
A half-tired Aaron Lennon will give you 10 times more energy than a lot of our players.
100%, yeah. But he brought on another striker at 2-0. And we all know what happened. You know, at Arsenal when he brought 2-0, he brings on, I think it was that, no, 2-0, he brought on a defender instead of a striker. It's just his tactics. He went more attacking.
West Ham, Bilic isn't scared to mix it up.
No.
He went more physical, more height up front, you know, Saka and Carroll came on, pace, balls into the box, bang, bang, bang.
It was like
3-2.
I bet West Ham thought, why the hell didn't we think of this earlier? Three crosses into the box, and no one ever scores with a bullet header or ever, and they always go in apologetically in the back end. But they were pretty much, and the third goal, what summed it up for me, and why deep down I really want Mane's gone, is that when that goal went in, I didn't even react. It wasn't even a surprise. No, that was a bad reaction because I knew how important that game was for us at that time. You know, it could have been a huge win, but such has been the nature of our home defeats this season. What Stoke, I can think, you know, on the top of my head, last minute, pretty much every defeat consisted of moments like this. It didn't even hit me with any kind of, I went numb, just not asked, indifference.
It was just almost like an acceptance. Like I was looking at,
like I was going shopping. Look, you know, looking at something, the missus is a bit tough or whatever, but it was like, not interested. Just wasn't interested at all.
It's just the latest in a long
while. Just went home and just thought, he's got to go.
That game, plus the Arsenal game sandwich, he decided the cup win, which we haven't talked about much, but
yeah,
that was the only positive. And then the United game, that's now three straight Premier League defeats.
What really hit me was the home record was last eight was 1-1, drawn 1, lost 6. I don't think I've ever seen Everton.
That's unforgivable in my entire life,
have a home record as bad as that.
I think it was the last 23...
Home run, I should say. Yeah.
The last 23 games, we've won 6, and 5 of those games were against Villa twice, Newcastle twice, and Sunderland. All in the bottom three. We tongued Sunderland, if you remember, and even Aruna Kone was getting hat-tricks that day.
I think me and you have helped ourselves to a few that day. Sunderland was just throwing goals into the wind.
Since October, I think that was.
I don't think he scored since either, has he, Kone, since that day. No. I don't think he scored. Which says it all. The guy just makes hay against absolute shite, and that's it. We don't need players like that. I just think, you're right. I mean, do we need to spell it out anymore?
Well,
we can't perform against anyone else.
Players like Aruna and Kone are talked up as heroes because they get an hat-trick and go missing for 6 months. Do you know what I mean? His manager will be saying, you know, he's got a real part to play and he can contribute. No, we can't. He's not good enough to wear that shirt.
No.
And he's just one of a few. And this summer, whatever happens with that manager, this summer, we need to be getting rid of a good few players. And I know it's not just a case of getting rid of them.
In line with the board's ambitions.
If we've got money, we need to be bringing in players. And I'm looking at your right-back position. I'm looking at centre-half. I'm looking at your Gareth Barry position. Your Stephen Pienaar, who's going to go. You know, you've got loads there.
You need an absolute top-quality goalkeeper as well for me.
Yeah, Robles. Yeah, we advocated his place in the side for ages.
That's only because he was the best of a bad bunch.
Howard's gone, isn't he? That's a done deal.
Yeah.
He should be the first of about 8 of them. And I would like to think now with fresh money that we'll get the players in, but we need to be buying, you know, class players who want to win. But just going back to the Lukaku comments as well, Mark.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on that? Because
a lot of people thought it was disrespectful. I get that. It is that he is paid by Everton. He didn't really slag the club off. He just stated that he wanted to play Champions League football, which quite evidently is not going to be at Everton next season, you know. So that tells you that he's looking to move elsewhere. I don't hate the way it comes out on international duty. The players never have the courage to say these things back at home, do they? It's always when they're away with particularly Belgian players.
Morales has done it. Fellaini used to do it.
They do it all the time.
Heitinger, remember?
Yeah, he had a cheek.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't think many teams would have had him, you know? Yeah. Overrated Hartman. But I don't like the way it came out. But then, such is my indifference, I'm absolutely really growing by the day, hatred of Everton under Roberto Martinez, I can't blame him either.
Mm.
The guy's a talented player, you know, he doesn't always show it, but
I think any Evertonian would be naive to think that Romelu Lukaku's going to stay.
I think he said he couldn't believe he was 12 as well.
What worries me after it, right, is Martinez got questioned about it in his press conference, right, and he said, you know, he basically said we shouldn't be worried because we can financially compete with anyone in the world. I don't care how much money that Farhad Moshiri's got. It doesn't mean for 1 minute that you can attract class players like Lukaku to Goodison Park.
No.
What other 22-year-old lad around Europe is going to guarantee you 20 goals in the Premier
League? This is what people are forgetting. None.
Harry Kane?
But it's Harry Kane with Tottenham even more on, you know, in the ascendancy and looking to be a force. Is he really ever going to leave Tottenham?
Imagine Lukaku from it. He's
a Tottenham fan, suppose, you know, I think, isn't he? Or he's a local lad. But Tottenham are a team who you're not going to get anyone from if they don't want to sell, because they're a team on the up.
Exactly.
They're a team going places.
We're a team that any player's agent will say, well, actually, he's given you 2 years there and you finished in the bottom half. 2 years, you've won no silverware.
You've got worse under this manager.
And I'm going to look for a bigger move for my client. Romelu Lukaku won't be short of offers round Europe and the Premier League. And to be honest, it should be expected. The worrying thing for me is, you know, Martinez almost defeatist comments about we shouldn't be worried. Well, I am worried, because it doesn't matter what you say. I don't want our 25-goal striker to be leaving.
No.
Because without those goals, God knows where we'd be. In fact, I think we'd be 18th. Someone done the stats, didn't he, without his goals? Now, I know it's all a bit, you know.
Well, it's true, though. He's got so many goals. A lot of them have been completely undermined because we can't keep the back door shut. We can't. So, you know, how many points would we have got had we been able to see a game out? And ultimately, that's down to the manager. So, Martinez is main, and players as well, you know. But the root cause is Martinez.
I think his body language, Lukaku, when he's on it, he's on it. A lot of the time, he doesn't help himself with his body language. But I think now, he's just coasting towards the end of the season. He'll go the Euros. You know there'll be £40 million offers for him.
Yeah.
I think Evertonians are a bit daft if they think they're going to get more than £50 million for him. And I'm not saying he's not worth that because of his goal ratio, but, you know, there's no club around Europe that he couldn't play up front for now.
I agree.
There'll be clubs in for him. What worries me is you get rid of him. You know, you sign another in the arse because we want to spend a bit of money, but they're not going to guarantee you the goals. Where is he? He's done it for West Brom.
Yeah.
He's done it for us now.
People are saying, what, he's got a cheek after one good season. We've banged in goals ever since he signed for us. Ever since.
I think you forget how many scored in Europe last season. Joint top scorer in the Europa League, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of him. I'm not a big fan of the comments like you, but I am a big fan of Lukaku, and I think
we're heading.
Yeah.
The players want to leave.
Phil Jagielka's defeatist body language, Leighton Baines saying there's no chemistry, Tim Howard's getting off, you know, he's overdue his welcome by 2 years, but he's outstayed his welcome, sorry.
Yeah.
Gareth Barry's not getting any younger. I don't know what's going on with Mo Bezic, he's always injured. Morales won't be there next season. Pienaar won't be there next season. McGeady, Gibson, Kone shouldn't be there next season. Lukaku's talking about leaving. Gerard Deulofeu, God knows what he's thinking, why he bothered to come back to England.
Yeah.
Others like Osman, he'll be going. Hibbert, what do they do anymore? Do they still play? I don't know the situation.
They're still on the payroll, but just don't ever play.
Funes Mori and Galloway and Garbutt and that. They're young players who are on the cusp, and Bezic has been given a new contract. Hopefully they are part of the future, but it worries me, Mark, honestly.
Yeah. When you rip the back out of it like that, you've just done it. It should worry you. So it should worry everyone. Where are we heading? I just, for me, can't envisage a future under Martinez at all. I keep going back to it. I think Farhad Moshiri has been around the Premier League long enough now to he knows what's going on. He knows the score. I just hope that we show that intent that, you know, we all hope he's got sooner rather than later.
We're not without jumping the gun, with all due respect, Martinez is still in a job.
Yeah.
We don't work for the Echo.
We can talk about what we want. Yeah, of course. And
I'm going to mention about people speculating over who potentially want in charge of Everton now. People might find it disrespectful that we might talk about this, but some of the names that are mentioned, like your Pellegrinis, Mourinho's, I mean, in terms of ambition, yeah, I just can't see that happening. But Ronald Koeman was mentioned, I thought, yeah, that'd be a smart move. But I think, would he see Everton as a backward step? With all due respect, I'm not saying Southampton are a bigger club, but
yeah,
do you know, look where they are in the league and the results that they've
gone on a great one. They lost the Leicester the weekend, but they've gone on, like, you know.
Does he think to himself, well, actually, I'm putting it up with loads of me players leaving here at Southampton and I'm doing all right. Do I want to go and do that at Everton?
Yeah.
I'd be faced with the fact that loads of them might want to leave, because I don't know. You've got Koeman, Unai, Emery was mentioned.
He's one of my favourites. But Sevilla, saying that, I've not had a great season. And they've underperformed away from home badly. Again, Kings of Europa, they're in the semi. I think they've got Valencia or Villarreal or something. In the semi-finals, it's a competition they won back-to-back 2 years running. So that's why I wanted him, because the guy knows how to win trophies.
De Boer, Ajax was another one mentioned.
Yeah, that seems to be everyone's favourite, that, because of his way he can bring young players in. Ajax are romping away with that league title. It's an unrecognisable Ajax team, but nonetheless, it's a efficient Ajax team.
It's winning.
By the way, they've done the most amazing tribute to Johan Cruyff ever.
Brilliant.
Everyone's going on about Barcelona, but I thought Ajax was a different class.
He was one hell of a player.
Yeah,
if only we could have him for a few games.
100%. Madness, and still find a way to mess him up.
You're playing right back. But yeah. Anyway, as I say. That we haven't just come up with them names. That's what people are sort of polling and chatting about on social media and stuff like that. Martinez was linked with the Spanish job today as well. Did you see that?
That is crazy. Really?
In fact, I think Vicente Del Bosque threw his name in the hat for it.
Yeah.
Martinez and a couple of others.
How do you say that? How do you react to that? The guy's butchered that season. I'm not sure that's what the Spanish manager's job...
I'm not sure that's
what they need for the Spain national team.
I can't quite see him.
If he does go, I'd be putting a load
of Iniesta in that.
No. If he does become Spain manager, I think both teams to score bets will be a hefty price. Then will be worth a punt next season.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be that's just a ridiculous story.
In terms of people putting pressure on the manager as well, we're obviously outspoken about it. There's a lot of people who are outspoken. I'm not saying we speak for Evertonians, because not everyone wants him gone.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, Mark, people I'm speaking to at the match Sunday, people who speak to him work and what have you, they've said to me the past 3 Mondays, he's got to go.
Yeah.
And I know there is people out there who want to stick with the manager and that, but there's only so much you can stick with a man who's failing. He's failing.
Badly.
In terms of the reporting of that, I've mentioned the Echo there, and you know, not just the Echo, you know, how it's reported in other areas. There seems to be a lot of people getting called out, journalists on Twitter and that. I was speaking to one last night who basically said he likes Martinez and he sort of feels sorry for him, but I said, like, you know,
would that be Rory Smith or something?
Yeah, like get him. Was being nice, get you nowhere, eh? Or does it? It's, whereas the polar opposite, I think it was the same podcast he done, was Chris Sutton, wasn't it? I'm by all means, we're not saying Chris Sutton is any sort of expert, but
he absolutely nailed it.
It's not the first time he's done it, though.
And, no.
And he says what a lot of Evertonians want the press to report.
Yeah, he, along with Paul Mason, are the very few people who can see right through Martinez. They know he's absolutely messed this team up.
But he seems to be, like, he can't do no wrong in other people's eyes. Why is that?
I don't know. Nice guy. But then that doesn't say much for people's intelligence. Everton stand 30 games in on 38 points, is it?
Yeah.
That is an abortion of a season. That is something so jaw-droppingly bad that it shouldn't even be a debate whether he should stay or not. You know, that is, you know, he's completely amazed us. Absolutely. 800 feet. I just
think, you know, without naming other clubs' names, but if he was in charge with this points tally in one season, never mind last season in the reckoning as well, he'd be out the door. He would have been on his beach in Costa del Sol long time ago.
I say quite a bit, Aston Villa were a team who knew they were going down. Let's face it, they didn't invest in the transfer market. They knew they were going down, I'm guessing, when they appointed Gerrard.
Mm.
This is a club with no expectations of staying up. And he was deemed not good enough, despite the fact that he was already confirming what they already knew. Now, we were going for Europe at the start of the season. We had high ambitions of doing good. We have dramatically underperformed, and not one ounce of growing, starting to grow now, but the pressure, well, you know, we can laugh at the Echo, can't we? Because they're fully aware of it. They won't say a word. If I can have a rant for 1 minute, they won't say a word. It's embarrassing why they won't say a word. It also just does nothing to dispute the fact that they're in the club's pocket. It's staggering how they ignore fans en masse. It's not just me ranting at the Echo, it's everyone going at them. And they must have a right laugh when they're putting these stories out about Everton fans vote for Martinez to play a full-strength team against Liverpool. They're on possibly the same planet as Martinez is. You know, when you see, they're absolutely disrespectful. It's negligent in the extreme to not represent what the fans are thinking and feeling. So they're just having a laugh. They're not journalists in my eyes.
It's just a lot of their content is just clickbait, and you can tell by their website it's just absolutely full of adverts. But they're not bothered how petty it is. They put it out there, and
it's so negligent though. Needs bringing up constantly.
I know. I talk about it, but I've almost think, well, that's odd. I mean, they're never going to change, but. I'd love 5 minutes in a press conference. You know what I mean? That's never going to be my line of work, to sit there in front of a Premier League manager. But
the people
I'd love it because I've got two or three questions off the top of my head I would love to see him squirm out of it for a start.
Yeah,
and I don't, you know, I'm not expecting these journalists to go in there and start throwing stats at him.
But they're bound by, I think it was John Merrill said, they're bound by editorial restrictions and stuff. Then I think, well, why is the editor placing restrictions on it? It's been highlighted today. The Echo had no problem, not the photoshopped Roy Hodgson onto a picture where they were clearly talking about Hicks and Gillette. Multiple articles on why Rodgers should go and stuff like that. You know, really. So, and absolutely not one word of criticism about Martinez. Yeah, they put he's not helping himself, he's not doing himself any favours, but that's stopping a way short, isn't it, of what the fans want.
Rather than calling him out and saying, oh, you know, he's on the verge of beating Everton's worst record for the season in the Premier League and all that, and he's another Mike Walker.
They'll say they're aiming for the eighth. Yeah, they'll focus on the only positive, which is the away form.
It's put across rather than just taking someone to task and being actually like, you know, you're in charge of a big club with a big following.
Yeah.
You've now got big money. We're going to put you on the spot because that's our job to do it. That's what,
so,
when you, in reality, that's what, in my eyes, a journalist should do. But fair enough, some of them, there is restrictions and what have you, and I'm not expecting them to go in and start, like, fighting with the manager in the press conference, but there's sitting on the fence, there's being in the club's pocket, and there's failing to ruffle feathers.
For me, I struggle to see. They would gain a lot more respect if they went in and they said, listen, we asked this. They didn't answer the question. We got banned from the press conference and we're not allowed back in. What's their loss there? No one is missing the Tony Ebert kite flying stories. No one is missing, you know, their exclusives are not worthy of the name. You know, it's just, no one is, they can report on the game, they can match report, that's it. Keep it to match reports then, but say, we can't comment on what's going on at the club because they banned us, because we asked this question. They would gain so much more respect than this pathetic, sudsy sweep and sue act, where they're just doing whatever the club tells them to do.
And I think what saddens me is the fact that we're all sort of in a free-for-all. Like, you've got probably some well-known Evertonians on Twitter and that who, you know, they're not journalists, but they tend to have quite a knowledgeable outlook on it all. And it people are looking to them to sort of get information and push the buttons of the club, whereas people aren't paid, you know what I mean?
No.
I see sort of like, I'm not going to mention names, but there's people on there, and it's almost like, without that person, I wouldn't have a clue what was going on in Everton, because
I know.
They say it how it is, and they're straight to the point, whereas a lot of the press, and the local press, you can't rely on them, really. You can't even get a response off them, you know what I mean?
Even when you're targeting them directly, and not in an offensive way, in a concerned, I'm not abusive, so... But you don't get any kind of response. In fact, I'd sent a tweet to them asking them they should maybe entertain the fact of calling for his head after, you know, because a lot of fans feel that way now. And they answered every sort of tweet around that, but ignored mine, which is, you know, just, you know, I don't expect a response off the Echo, but they clearly responded to other people.
You've got others like that, McNulty and that, and I've noticed people saying to them what's happening, and they say when the time is right, or when my employer instructs me to write an article of that. So it just shows you how controlled all the content is, as and when it fits their agenda rather than actually speaking for the fans. So we all end up on TalkSport or Radio Merseyside, or people that do the podcasts.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of them, and do the fan sites and stuff, and write articles. I mean, you and me are probably both sick of writing articles. We haven't done them for ages because there's only so many you can write. Because it falls on deaf ears. 100 Evertonians say to you, excellent reading, agree with every word, bang on. It doesn't go no further. Some people actually say print your article, or print this article.
Yeah,
and hand it to someone at the club, but it falls on deaf ears. It goes unnoticed. So you think to yourself, we'll just sit around the table and talk about it instead.
Absolutely. Have a glass of wine. Why not? You don't get a glass of wine when you're writing.
No.
You're right, though, mate.
It's another frustration. And we're not saying it's the press's fault that Martinez is not performing at Everton, and Everton aren't performing by no stretch.
It isn't, no.
We're not saying, oh, you know, we're not just wanting someone to blame. But
reflect the current mood.
They have to be the middlemen in between the club and the fans.
At the moment, they're comical alley, aren't they, really? You know, there's a gunfight going on. It's not just Twitter. My life isn't consumed by Twitter. I talk to a lot of Evertonians in work. I know a lot of Evertonians at the game and family members. And to a man, they're fed up with it. You know, so I don't believe there's all these people out there who have blind faith in Martinez and see no problem. Because I think everyone sees a problem now.
Well, just before we talk about the up-and-coming fixtures, I'm going to full meltdown mode.
Yeah.
We asked the fans of some opinions.
We did.
Let's just get them up here.
No, I was
typically, when you put a tweet out, Mark, about 100,000 people reply.
They're basking in my reflected glory. No, I'm joking.
We basically
just an asshole with an opinion.
What was the question?
We asked, and I was wary of the sort of if this was too stupid or not. But what would Evertonians like to see happen from now until till the end of the season? We had a lot of responses in a very short space of time. Toffee Nick replied that we win every game left. It's an absolute necessity rather than a choice. Roberto Martinez is a dead man walking, And it's sad, as I really wanted him to turn it around. And to be honest, that captures my feeling perfectly. As much as I coming across as I hate Mariners on Twitter right now, you know, I desperately wanted him to do well.
I think that, just on that, right, I get the impression that some people think, yeah, there is Evertonians out there that absolutely thrive on negativity. There is.
Yeah.
But I think the likes of me and you, right, I think some people think that we only sort of go on Twitter or only talk about Everton when it's bad.
No, yeah.
I absolutely jump through hoops around this house when Everton win a game. You know, if I'm away from home when I'm watching it on some dodgy stream, you know, and it's 10 minutes behind or whatever.
And you're having to, it doesn't matter. You're having to turn your leg off so you don't know the score.
I'm willing them on, as I always will do, as an Evertonian.
Yeah.
I don't thrive on this negativity. I hate the fact that we're slating the manager. I hate the fact that we're speculating about the next manager. And we're moaning about the local press and the players' body language. Because I hate it.
I'm glad you said that, because people do think I'm only on it for the negativity. I've been going since I was 86, you know. It's something that is in me blood. I'm desperate to see Everton do well. And like you say, when we are doing well, on the rare occasions that there is optimism, there's no one who's more sickly than me. I'll run away with it. I'll completely go out of hand, get on, you know, think we're going to win the lot. Or what have you. It's just, you know, it works both ways. I'm as equally as passionate when we win, and I'm as equally as passionate when we lose, and we've been doing a lot of losing this season, you know.
So. Well, you know, without hand-picking comments that are just negative, go through and speak truthfully. You're not going to be able to read them all out.
Yeah.
I'll go through and read some that just basically generalise what people are saying.
Basically, a lot of them, Steve, Everton 7509, would say, I'd like Martinez sacked and Sheedy as caretaker manager until the end of the season, and then go for De Boer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see anything wrong in that at all. Then we've got Stevie Max, put sack him before the semi, the season is a complete shambles. So it's mad. We've got a cop out on, just goes, you lose every game 5-0 and finish 18th. So he's probably having the time of his life. Richard Gilbertson put sack Martinez before our next game and let it be known we want a top manager to replace him now or in the summer. Basically, there's people frightened for next season if Martinez is still in charge. You know, it's always like,
well, the responses are there. We're not. Yeah. People who follow
not one person stuck up for him. Not one person said stay with him.
So people might sit in and go, "Are you just on an anti-Martinez podcast?" Well, go on Twitter and look at that tweet and read the responses.
Well, we don't deal in. We're not, you know, there's one here, Martinez and his coaching staff gone immediately. These are fair-minded. Well, from conversations I've had with them, they're not.
Well, there's
not morons. They're fair-minded people.
All ages, all backgrounds. Some don't go the game. Do go the game. Do live on the other side of the world? We all follow one thing, and that's Everton Football Club. So,
and to a man, almost from all I can see, I've not seen one person apart from your usual suspects. You just like to be different from the rest. Say that they want Magnus in.
Yeah,
he is borderline indefensible, if not already indefensible.
Well, my dad, Jed, is actually, he's put his view across as well. He's not on Twitter, he's, you know, he's not quite there yet with that. He's in his 60s. He's basically said, just ask him pretty much the same question, and he said he's never been for anyone losing the job. But, you know, Roberto Martinez has not helping himself with his comments, and he hasn't been for some time. But he said, you know, remember, it's the style of play he's employing is something that Everton fans do want or should want. And have we already forgotten that, you know, the School of Science was on its way back? But it seems to have stalled or closed halfway, didn't it?
Yeah.
But that's his point.
And there was no one more willing than the fans.
And he says, of course, he needs to address the defensive problems at the club. And the question has to be, why hasn't he done that already? Which is, again, going back to the common themes of his stubbornness and not willing to change it up. And he's just basically ended by saying the new chairman, you know, the new majority shareholder might be a lot less patient than his predecessors, which is something, again, what we mentioned before, you know, in terms of ambition and what we might see this summer is we could see wholesale changes, or we could just see a continuation of the Everton that we see now.
Which I think would scare a lot of people. Absolutely, 100%. What also tells the tale is the amount of Wigan accounts we're getting now off people from 3 years ago who were saying things hauntingly accurate to what's going on. You know, we feel like we've we should have buyer's remorse really over Mahrez. I don't know. He's like, you know.
Do we have a sell-on clause?
I'm reading stuff off a Wigan fan from 2013.
That's all
Mahrez got. No one was interested then because the optimism was there and no one was asked. But now it's really accurate. One fella said you'll get one worldy game and then a plethora of like poor performances, which is so accurate.
It's weird, isn't it? I mean, I was looking at some of the statistics and his points per game ratios and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it is quite damning when you read it. You know, if the statistics are there, which goes back to the reporting of it, seems to be lacking because we can all see it there in black and white. Statistics don't lie. We've not been good enough.
No,
we've not been good enough for some time.
See, statistics can be manipulated to suit a person's point of view, but not in this case. They've absolutely weighed on it like two breeze blocks in a mafia hit.
Six wins in 23 games in the past six months.
You keep saying things in isolation, which for me is enough to sack it.
That's like one win a month.
Yeah, one
since
win a month.
Since October.
Oh, I'd love to know how many points he's accumulated since that first season. I reckon we haven't reached.
Put it this way, it's a good job that the sides, Norwich and the sides below Norwich, are worse than Everton.
Yeah.
Which they are, and by no means I'm saying we'll get relegated, but
the fact that we're even having this conversation.
If this was earlier in the season, and I remember at a point this time a year ago when we dropped to something like 13th, and I was like, oh my God, it actually...
We're going to free fall.
It takes us to drop, though, and for us to lose three games on the run for some Evertonians to open their eyes to it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you can see this coming.
See, so now, even with a cup win, do we really want more of this? Do we really want it? Or are we prepared to play roulette with our cup chances? Because I personally think we can win it without him. Or do we want to win it with him and risk more of the same next season?
I don't want the same problems because I'm sick of talking about it already.
Yeah.
And he's been here for 3 years and for 18 months.
See, like, I want to
keep saying 18 months because it is 18 months, 2 years. I've been saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And thousands of Blues have been saying it.
When we last won a trophy with Joe Royal, there was that optimism the season after. We didn't really do enough, but we signed Kanchelskis that maybe, we had belief that we could go on, and we did. We finished sixth in the league, which was a huge improvement on the relegation with Walker last season. So, but this season, we could win the cup, but I don't want this guy in charge. I've got no optimism at all for next season then. So it's like the FA Cup would be huge, massive, unbelievable scenes, the lot, limbs. But then you're thinking... writing them on Twitter comments. But then you're thinking, this is a whole victory because we're still lumbered with this guy. It's just going to give us more of the same.
To be honest,
just classic effort.
Apart from the investment, there's nothing that makes me want to get my season ticket back.
No, and also it's not nailed on that we're going to win the cup.
I'm sorry to say that. There's nothing to say.
Yeah.
I want to get it back and be tied into going all the time.
Because you got to think about the Saturday night feeling or the sun, whatever, walking home. Disappointed, devastated, almost inevitably into a row with the missus because you've had too much to drink. Jumping, but it's that feeling. Do you want that feeling 12, 13 times a season because we've won a club?
I can't cope with any more. That the Chelsea game, the Bournemouth game, the West Ham game.
I can't cope with anything like that anymore. I've got a beard, but that's gone grey now. So he's really, I'm coming at it from all angles. Maybe I need to just stop supporting Evan. Which is easier said than done.
If you were a smoker, you would have had a 20 deck just during this podcast.
I'd have been walking around with a drip on me, just being one of them patients. It doesn't even need it, just sits there at a bus stop with a drip next to me. Yeah, completely falling to bits because we've got an idiot who can't shut the back door.
It's a good job that we're like big fans of Phoenix Nights and comedy and stuff like that, isn't it? You have to fill your time with stuff like that, otherwise you're just sitting there for 7 days wondering what the hell's going on. You end up writing several articles. And
several articles, just to let steam off. But then I think it won't be long before I'll be sending the ball, or maybe Mancini, depends how I feel on the day, a little pull into paradise tweet. Do you know what? That, if it was announced, that would be... I'd be able to forget this season, but right now this season is like, don't know, it's like that shit staying on the mattress that you just don't bother with. It's still there every
day. We nearly got there without, it's all over an hour without a swear word or saying the something crude.
Has left the flat in an elevator with this one. Absolutely. It's not going, the elevator's packed and everyone's aware of it.
Probably crazy. Brings it to a close well, that, doesn't it? I think we have covered most of the games there, Mark. I'm not going to say it's been a pleasure because it hasn't. But yeah, that my most concern, and probably looking at the players' body language on Sunday and what's happened since with the comments and that speaks volumes for me. And
yeah,
I, as much as I can't see Everton sacking Martinez, I just can't see a future. Some of your senior players are coming out and acting like that and saying things like that and having body language like that and performing like that, I just think we're lifeless at the moment. And it shouldn't be the case. We should be booming because we've been beaten three times since Mashiri took over. You'd think that would spare us on having this new money.
End the season strongly if we're going to finish unsatisfactorily, but have the belief that, no, well, hang on, we've ended strongly. We're going to improve in the summer. There's optimism. Don't end with nothing. Go out of the cup. God forbid. God forbid if we go out of that cup in the semi-final.
At the end of the day,
I think Switzerland will have to shut down.
Any potential players joining Everton will completely look at Everton differently if they finish in the top half and, you know, potentially win the cup.
Yeah.
Then if we just finish in the bottom half, no one looks at the bottom half of the Premier League. No. And they don't look from 11th place down to 17th.
No star player flicks the page to. No. They don't.
And every position, you know, you earn more money, but it gives you that little bit more status. You know,
it does.
Europe was the goal in itself.
You've got to be seen to be on the up. Mm. I mean, you know, and if we finish where we are now or worse, and then don't win the cup, then what? You know, there's not going to be much time for us, you know, just by the money.
Just before we finish, then we go to Watford now, we go to Palace.
Yeah.
We've got Southampton.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have we sat in and said, Martinez's biggest...
I'm not going to say must win anymore.
This is Martinez's biggest 3 weeks, probably, because you've got Watford and Palace, who are both, let's be honest...
Let's face it.
...struggling. Watford are dropping, aren't they?
On holidays, because they're safe.
Yeah.
Watford have...
Well, I don't know about Palace.
But Watford certainly, I think, is safe.
But that's one next week, whereas we go to Watford, we've got Palace. I think that's one of the games in hand, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got Southampton at home, which is a massive game. Who knows what Goodison will be like on that Saturday if we don't get results against Watford and Palace.
That's right. It's like, if we'd have had a good season, or half decent even, I'm still, you know... But we've had such a wretched time of it, that every single bad result now is just whacking the pressure on 100-fold. It's not just a normal defeat anymore. It's now like a weight on his shoulders that's slowly dragging him down.
Without a doubt, and I think...
He can't afford another defeat, to be honest with you.
The fixtures haven't been kind with the rearranged derby, like 4 days before Wembley, but...
No, the Echo run a crucial vote on that. I think he should rest everybody.
Groundbreaking journalism, as ever. But it's obviously it's busy, isn't it? We're gonna have to try and get another podcast.
My phone's not ringing. I'm doing like a Matt Lawrence thing with your phone going off.
Is it the ball?
it's the ball responding to the part Phoenix Knights Island Phoenix Knights tweet.
Is it Mero saying he's got the job?
Give it Mero till the end of the season.
But yeah, you've got Watford, Palace, and Southampton within the space of a week. And then Liverpool and the trip to Wembley. So we'll have to get back in before then, because we can't be covering like 5 games on the next podcast.
I think we're going to start getting lynched.
We'll be sitting here on the crystal meth.
The RV's already out front, so that's no problem in terms of supply. Magnus, though, I don't know if he's still going to be here. I think the weight of... I know how it goes with Everton. They felt very similar with Smith.
Honest prediction, by the time we get to Wembley, will he still be in charge?
For me, yes, but I think 99% of Blues would rather no. But I think Evan, the board don't sack managers easily, even if they're poor.
I think no matter what happens in the Cup, Everton might win a couple more of the games, get to maybe 10th, 9th spot
Yeah,
at a push, and he'll keep his job and be given another season.
Do you think the players can turn it around?
Yeah, that's not what I want to happen necessarily, but that's what I think will happen. Yeah. Everton. Obviously, a cup win would be great with that, because I'd just love to see an Everton captain lift a bloody trophy. But
an open top bus parade by the club shop.
Hopefully, Jagger could lift his head up then and actually smile and show a bit of fight. But I'm not on the big critical level here.
But you're right. We just hope that things improve. Maybe we should. Since the podcast, we've been ready.
What we'll do is, if we win the cup, we'll hire a DJ for the podcast.
Yes,
and we'll just 100% celebrate for an hour, and we'll.
It's going to be cat parties in the Brick-esque.
Terry lets us have upstairs in Segura. We'll have the party up there in the moods, and
everyone can come.
Champagne for everyone.
Listen, that's when it becomes irrelevant who's in charge. It's Everton Football Club. We badly need a trophy. It doesn't matter, you know. But I personally think we can do it without him. But you know, if you're reading Twitter, it just looks like the guy's minutes away from getting sacked. Twitter tends to lend itself to hysterical people such as myself. And not like my, you know, there's people out there who possibly are still putting up with this.
I think for the meantime, we need 3 points.
And 100%.
Come 5-5 on Saturday, I'm hoping that I'm on Twitter or saying to you, we needed that.
Just the way it's much better. We needed that much better.
You know, I'll take a 1-0 win now. It bounces in off Troy Deeney's head or something. but you know, Watford are no pushovers. They've got some decent players. They're down there about with us. I think they're a point behind us.
Yeah, and we need to get above West Brom.
We're level with Bournemouth. No disrespect to them, but it's the West Brom. It's what Chris Sutton said about it being unacceptable.
He's right.
Yeah.
And it's snobbish to West Brom, but come off it.
Victor Anichebe must have been thinking, they were laughing when we sold me to Leeds for £6 million, and now I'm above them in the table.
And then
they've got Lukaku up front, 25 goals, and they're still below us.
Which, reason number 900. Get him out.
What did your band say?
He put up West Brom's team, and they had 6 centre backs in it. And they said, this team is above us in the league.
He made me laugh, and he said, Eto saw the iceberg.
We all blamed Eto.
There was problems, wasn't there? There's definitely things going behind the scenes. Distan, Eto, Morales. Now with Pienaar, there's talk, isn't there?
Pienaar's been fifth for ages, he's telling everybody.
Someone else was saying about Jagielka staging a walkout or something.
Now, the calibre of managers that Eto's worked under, he's possibly seen right through.
But he didn't last long at all, did he?
Nope.
No sooner did we made a song about him.
I know.
He got off.
I did have the privilege of seeing him score.
Oh, yeah.
At Chelsea and Burnley was fantastic goal. Two fantastic goals.
But glory days, Burnley.
Glory days. Oh, yeah. Atal beating, we won in the cup, I think we won in the Europa League and then beat Burnley in 3-1.
You're right.
I can't remember. Yeah, but they were the days. Yeah.
It feels like about a decade ago, though, doesn't it? It's unreal, really. It's 2 years, but.
It's two, really, years that need to come to a stop. Enough's enough. It's just been downhill, 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 downhill. It's got to stop because I can't take much more moaning.
No.
I think I've used all my moaning resources up. I've just... my Martinez is out.
I think
can't even say a bit of Martinez's name now without the word out at the end.
Counsellors will be contacting us saying, you know, we've heard a few of your podcasts. Do you want to come and down to the clinic?
Yeah, I think some rather couches are in store for us.
For an assessment. But anyway, good to catch up as ever, Mark.
Yes, Mark, definitely.
Just a shame it's in such negative circumstances, but
yeah,
let's hope we get back to winning ways Saturday and we'll see what happens over an important and busy month for Everton FC.
Definitely. Yeah, let's hope we do well.
All right, thanks for everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Also, don't forget, you can download on iTunes, just search Everton Fan Focus, and the links will be on our Twitter feed tonight. Thanks. See you, everyone.
Take
care. See you, Mark. Ta-ra, mate.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.